With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Goodyear Assurance Weather Ready. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. Turn first-round picks like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. Visit PaniniAmerica.net today.
The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Basketball, football, they have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You can get your winnings back in 2 hours. My favorite, the same game parlays. You can bet $5 or $10 and win $150 or more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get started now. Sign up promo code Colin so they know we and I sent you. The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hi, everybody, and welcome in. Warriors, let's be honest, kind of thrash the Mavericks. I want to talk about Andrew Wiggins. So years ago when I worked at the other place, he was the number one pick out of Kansas. Very skinny. His Canadian background, parents were very athletic. And years ago in college basketball, you knew when a Tim Duncan or a Patrick Ewing came out, they were such dominant multiple-year players in college basketball. You could see they were pros playing college basketball, almost like watching Jamar Chase, the wide receiver for LSU in college. You were watching a pro at the collegiate level. Like, some guys are obvious. Chase Young for Ohio State was a pro, just happened to be, not eligible for the National Football League. But in this last 15 to 20 years, you'll see guys that are super talented, but they're 18, they're 19. And I remember saying about Andrew Wiggins, he can't bust. And a friend of mine who's a scout said, be careful. You just don't know with these guys. Like, they may get into this league. So he comes in with Minnesota. I don't watch a lot of T-Wolves games. And as coincidence would have it, I went to a Clipper game. It was against the T-Wolves. I went to a Laker game. It was against the T-Wolves. And I thought, oh, good, I'm going to size him up. And my takeaway was that he wasn't a bust, but he would score 23 or 24 points, and I didn't remember any of them. Everything was just inconsequential. I didn't remember any of his points. And I remember I had a couple friends. One of my friends in radio, Scott Shapiro, was from Minnesota. And I would be like, I just don't get it. He's like, just be patient. And like, by the third year, I'm like, I don't remember a single basket of his career. And then he goes to the Warriors. And what you found out with Wiggins pretty quickly was he's not an alpha. He's not a one. He doesn't like the pressure. He's a one talent, but he's not a one mindset. And the longer he was in Minnesota, you started questioning whether he was a two. So he goes to Golden State eventually. And his game is the opposite of Minnesota. I remember every basket. Everything matters. Everything is perfectly timed. Forget just the dunks. He's such a tough matchup for Luka. He's a much more vertical player than Luka. So Luka pump fakes, he can block that shot without having to leave his feet. He's that quick. He's so fast and twitchy vertically. So he's a tough matchup for Luka. And nobody's going to stop Luka. But he's in tremendous shape as Wiggins. He's very twitchy. They can throw Draymond at Luka. They can put Wiggins on him. But I think what's interesting about Luka is when these kids come out of college now, these one-and-done kids, he was never a one personality. You probably would have been able to tell that with two more years of college or if he stays to a junior or a senior year. But so much of the draft now is projecting what his personality is, projecting how he will handle the spotlight. It's almost as if the Warriors are the perfect culture for him. It's Steph's team. He drives to the arena every night with no pressure to score 25. If he does, it's icing. He doesn't even have to be the two. He doesn't have to be the soul of the team. He doesn't have to be the number one defender. Dre can do that. He doesn't have to be a catalyst on either end of the floor. And I think that's his personality. When the pressure's not on and he can just play and give you his defense, his athletic ability, he got a nice stroke. That dunk he did tonight, I mean, that's maybe it's not Dr. J rocked the cradle at the Spectrum against Michael Cooper. That's a top 10 playoff dunk. I mean, that thing was a poster. And I just think when Wiggins came over to the Warriors, we all looked at him as a trade piece. Yeah, they'll move off him. He's become really, really valuable. And as Steph ages and as Clay, you know, we don't know if Clay will ever be exactly what he was. And as much as I like Jordan Poole, Wiggins was a number one pick. Jordan Poole was a 28th pick. You know, Andrew is really different athletically than virtually everybody on that team. And I just, as I watch him in this Warrior series, he's the opposite of Minnesota. He's relaxed. There is no pressure. He doesn't have to be the top defender, the catalyst, the soul of the offense. And I just think that fits his personality. It's just the Warriors just work for Andrew Wiggins. And he made that first All-Star game and then didn't necessarily have a great second half of the regular season, but he's been magnificent in the playoffs. And what the Warriors do against Luka, and this is kind of what I predicted. I said, outside of Mikal Bridges, Booker and Chris Paul can't defend Luka. Just can't. But the Warriors have so many different options. They're not even playing Jonathan Kuminga, who I think matches up with him pretty well. They don't even have to play him. So this is a bad matchup for Dallas. And you can just see it. They're pressing. You get Kerr's coaching where they box in one Luka. They zone him. They trap him. And, you know, a Spencer Dinwiddie on a night that Luka is free is wonderful. But on a night where Luka is not getting great shots and Dinwiddie has to step up and in a lot of possessions be a one, he's a three in this league. So it just feels like to me this is a really bad matchup for the Dallas Mavericks. I want to bring in Jason Tempf. Now, Jason is a guy that we brought on. The NBA season had started, and he does Hoops Tonight and Lakers Tonight. He's really grown with us at the volume. He absolutely plays the sport, loves the sport, obsessed by the sport, and he can really break it down almost like a coach. And, you know, I wanted to kind of keep it on for my commentary tonight on Wiggins and Luka. And so let's bring Jason on and dive a little deeper on what he saw tonight. You know, Jason, I understand people who hate the Warriors. They acquire KD, you know, Steph's mugging for the camera. They've won a lot. Like, I get it. But I think it's beautiful basketball. The cutting. You know, there are a lot of teams say they get along. I can watch the Warriors and tell they get along. And I don't know if it's Kerr, it's Steph, it's Clay, but there is a harmony, Jason. You can go to the Y, and there are just times you get the right five guys and they move without the ball. But the harmony watching the Warriors play, you can hate them. They don't even look like the remaining three offenses to me. I mean, you're a hooper. I love watching them play. I think it's tremendous television. That's my take on Golden State.
They're impossible to replicate. You know, they're the most unique team in the NBA, and teams have tried, but they failed. Do you remember the Luka Doncic trade, the one that sent the Atlanta Hawks 2 first-round picks, one for Trae Young, one for Kevin Huerter. And all the talk surrounding that day was, we're trying to replicate the Steph Clay backcourt. And then they went out to play basketball and they played just like everyone else because it's such a unique style. And it requires a selflessness and a commitment to moving without the basketball, being a threat at all times, you know, being a part of something bigger than yourself. But not only that, but a commitment to the defensive end. Steph and Clay, pretty much from their time of when they first started playing with Team USA, embraced the defensive end in a way that so many offensive-minded guards have not. And when you combine that with their, you know, unique offensive play style, they're extremely difficult to replicate, to prepare for. I think Dallas, you know, they're making Dallas look bad. Dallas is not bad. Dallas was the second best team in the league since January 1st. They beat Phoenix for a good reason. You know, they demonstrated, you know, their ability to completely dissect, you know, traditional basketball teams. But Golden State's not a traditional basketball team. They're going to put you in tough spots, and Dallas just hasn't been able to match it.
You know, I said before the series, I thought Phoenix, outside of Mikal Bridges, you know, Booker and Chris Paul just don't match up at all with Luka. He's thick. You know, people lament his cardio shape, but he's heavy. I mean, he's like a lumbering fullback. He's just a lot of body on you. But Draymond and Wiggins, and they didn't play Kuminga much, but he, and I just found throughout the course of this series is, They didn't buy his pump fakes. Like, Wiggins is so twitchy, he doesn't have to. He'll block the shot. And I think there was a real discipline the way Golden State played. They're like, listen, we're going to just keep him in front of us. Don't buy his fakes. If he hits the shots, he hits the shots. And I thought, as good, Monty Williams is a good coach, but I didn't think they were terribly disciplined with Luka. God, any pump fake, and Phoenix was in the air. And I think Golden State's just said, we're not leaving our feet. I mean, I can almost hear Kerr. We're not leaving our feet. That's what, when I watch them against Luka, whether it's a box, a trap, the zone, it's all the same principles to me. And I think Luka, not that he's frustrated, but it's he gets almost everybody in the league, Jason, in the air. And Golden State's not buying any of it.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins' twitchiness buys him margin for error on defense. He doesn't have to beat you to a spot. He can recover. That elite recovery athleticism basically allows him to play more disciplined on defense. You know, I thought a huge swing factor in this series was, you know, coming into the series, the question was, are we going to let Luka play isolation ball and stay home on shooters? Or are we going to send help towards Luka and, you know, play the gambling game with the shooting? And throughout this entire series, there's been one stretch where Dallas has consistently made shots, and it was the first half of game two. And they decided to mail in the defensive end in the second half, a thing that young, inexperienced teams that haven't built up the necessary scar tissue, the pain of losing, they let an opportunity slip there because they rely so heavily, because Golden State was sending so much help to Luka, they rely on people knocking down those open shots. And to be clear, they did through two rounds. They were an amazing, wide open three-point shooting team, but they got into this series and they stopped going down and they had no second punch. And versatility wins in the playoffs. If you can take away a team's best punch and they don't have a counter that they can go to, you're almost always going to win in that case. Golden State has a bunch of different ways they can go.
Yeah. I feel it's a bad matchup for Dallas. I think, listen, there's, you can watch football games, basketball games. There are times when one team just has more dudes, and it's like Golden State's got flexibility and the ability to, they've got just so many guys that can do different things. And this is without Payton, who's going to come back probably in the finals. So he's another guy that can guard a one. He can guard a two. I want to pivot. I think Boston's better than Miami, but I think Spoelstra, and this is my belief, I think he and Kerr are the best two coaches in the league. And Popovich certainly is in that space. I said after Golden State and Boston one game two, I said, what I fear with both is they both know they're more talented, deeper, and better. I said, what I fear is, because I've seen this with Golden State during the KD times too, they really don't show up. I mean, they're, you know, Jason, when offense is easy, it is easy to mail it in. Because it, now, if you're a defensive team, what scares me about Boston is offense isn't easy for Boston, and they still mailed it in. And it was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, come on now. This, like, you and I have seen Golden State. I've seen this with football teams. Kansas City. Like, sometimes the defense knows they don't have to make a stop, right? it matters. Boston has to work on the offensive end to score. I thought that performance in game three, I mean, I did think Miami would be competitive. I thought it would. What did you make of it? It was almost arrogant.
It was bizarre, you know, because they've been the Jekyll and Hyde team of this playoff run. When they are going on both ends of the floor, nobody can touch them. But it's been their offense that's been inconsistent. You know, the cliche, like, oh, they need a point guard. Well, in this case, the cliche is actually true for Boston. They lack a floor general, like a game manager, someone who understands the flow of the game and can get people in spots and settle them down when they're losing, you know, when they're losing sight of what they're supposed to be doing. What was so strange about last night was they mailed it in on defense. And that's crazy. Just completely inexcusable. And like, and so that's the thing, like, you know, we can safely assume Golden State's going to the finals. You and I both like Boston to make it. So we're looking at that series and, you know, my basketball mind tells me, you know, Boston's the better team. They should be able to get this done.
Right.
But I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. And meanwhile, Golden State, again, with exception of that weird game in Memphis in game five, they've been pretty reliable in terms of their night-to-night focus. And so, you know, Boston may be the better team, but Golden State might be the safer bet in the sense that you can at least count on them to bring their best punch every night.
The playoffs are here. You can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. FanDuel's hooking you up free bets through the playoffs. Free bets. Doesn't matter if you're a new customer or already have an account. Be sure to check out the app, exclusive weekly same game parlay promos. FanDuel's got so many ways to play. Best of all, when you win, you get paid faster than a fast break. If you're new to FanDuel, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with the promo code Colin. If you already have an account, you're all set to get in on the action. Either way, you'll get an assist from FanDuel when you bet a same game parlay during the playoffs. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of BF Goodrich tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think you bring up a really good point, is that what you're seeing with Boston, and I saw it, is Dallas tried to make several runs at the Warriors. You know, Curry just has an ability. He's so elusive. You know, he just starts, he gets past, sometimes I think he doesn't have the separation quite that he did 3 years ago on his shot, but boy, does he have a great first step on the, when he puts the ball on the deck, like he gets past virtually everybody in this league. And whereas Harden now can't get either, he can't get the separation on the shot or past you. And so when Golden State's having, the Avalanche works against you, I always feel like Curry can kind of bring it back. They'll at least get good shots. They may not hit him, but they'll get it. Boston's an interesting team. Smart's a defensive player. He's not respected enough offensively to scare anybody, right? So I do think sometimes Boston lacks Jaylen Brown's more the athlete. Jason's Tatum's the wing, the dominant wing scorer. Who's the guy? And my thing, Jace, if they lose this series, I've seen Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum for 5 years. They're all better versions of what we knew they were by the All-Star break at their first year. One's a defender, one's an elite B-plus player, but an elite athlete, and one's a star. Okay, after 5 years of this thing, Chris Middleton's not getting hurt. My takeaway is I keep Tatum, I probably keep Marcus Smart. Isn't there an argument that if you guys cannot get past the Heat with two undrafted starters, and Milwaukee without Middleton, and Philly was kind of a mess, could I not make the argument you got to take a swing in the offseason?
Well, regardless of what happens the rest of this playoff run, because Boston still very well could win, but regardless of what happens, this has been exposed as a massive weakness. And you're right, it's a redundancy. You've got three guys that, when they have it going, look good as playmakers, but they don't always have it going, and they can very easily lose, you know, they lose their identity in that sense. When you have this many guys that all kind of do the same thing, drive and kick guys that aren't, you know, what you're referring to is that guy like what Steph is for Golden State, the guy that can methodically break down a defense on every possession, meaning yep. On every possession, they can consistently get to a spot where either they're comfortable as a scorer or they're comfortable reading the defense as they send additional attention. Brown and Tatum have gotten better at that over the years, but it's not their natural instinct. And so even when they have, you know, no matter what you are as a basketball player, you always will fight your whatever your original, you know, identity was. So for LeBron, sure. For instance, he never wanted to take the big shot, and he's gotten to the point where he's gotten better at it, you know, but it's still naturally upstairs. He's a playmaker. So like he'll fight that for the rest of his career. Meanwhile, all the great scorers of all time will constantly fight the urge to shoot over double teams. It's like it's an identity thing. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have gotten better as passers, but their natural identity is to be a scorer. And so when teams are sending like Miami, what they're doing essentially is they're sending all sorts of defensive attention to those guys, tons of pressure, tons of playing the passing lanes, tons of, you know, gambling and things like that. They're just not disciplined enough to methodically break Miami down.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly, you put it better than I did. It's Curry can just, again, it's this, these playoff games, especially on the road, it's just a series of runs. The home team makes a run. And every time Dallas did, Curry comes down, gets past his guy. The Mavericks are chasing him. Yeah, it's I really fundamentally like the construct of Phoenix and Boston. It feels very old school to me. The classic defensive big, the wing scorer, the kind of the pass first point guard. But I do think something's missing. If I want to go back to Golden State before I get to a Laker topic, and those of you who have not seen Jason, he's growing in popularity very quick on the Volume Sports YouTube channel. Had over 100,000 views on one of his latest rants. Really knows his stuff. But I made this argument the other day. When the Patriots had their dynasty, they could have won all of them or lost all of them. I mean, they were all. I mean, people lament the Mario Manningham catch if they're a Patriot fan, or David Tyree. Every single game, other than maybe the Rams, was an absolute peril with 4 minutes to go. The Warriors are different. The Warriors have had bad breaks. They fell apart against Toronto. Literally, all but one starter was hurt. They were a better team, easily. You know, certainly Kyrie hit maybe the shot of the decade, but there was a Draymond suspension. I think Andrew Bogut got hurt.
Like Steph was hurt.
That's right. And I look at the Warriors and I think they're a better dynasty than we think. That's my takeaway. Now, I may be a little hyperbolic because I love their style. Where do we put them? How is there's two versions. Now we're moving to a third version. Is it possible they're actually in a sport that tends to popularize the fun and flashy? They don't get enough credit.
No, they don't get nearly enough credit. I think what you're seeing too that people are glossing over here is just how insanely talented the league is. And I think LeBron gets hurt in this regard as well. People, Steph and LeBron, the Warriors and LeBron made this look easy when it's not. When the league is as talented as it is, like this is a very good Dallas team that they are dismantling right now. You know, and that Memphis team was, even without Ja Morant, an entirely different beast that they had to deal with. But, and you know, most importantly, it speaks to the consistency. You talked about luck. One of the easiest ways to counter that is to give yourself a bunch of shots at the table. You know, in terms of winning a championship, a lot of things do have to go your way. But if you put yourself in position seven times, chances are you'll win three or four of them. And that's the advantage of consistent success. Sometimes things break your way. It's like the 2020 title for the Lakers. You know, a lot of things went their way. Steph got hurt. Kevin Durant got hurt. You know, you end up playing a Miami Heat team in the finals that's very flawed. But again, just you get enough cracks at the table, that goes your way. It's the counterbalance to Kyrie getting hurt and Kevin Love getting hurt in 2015. You got to get to the table enough times so that some things can go your way.
When Wiggins came over, we all kind of thought he was a trade piece initially. And then, as we often see in basketball, guys can really flourish if the culture's right. Miami's got a really good culture. You know, if you play for the Celtics now, you play defense. You know, even if you're not a great defender, absolutely, you defend. And all of a sudden, you start watching Wiggins, and he's still inconsistent, maddeningly so. Steph gets hurt. He doesn't step up. But I'm sitting there watching him, and I'm like, man, he's a 6'7" and a half, twitchy. This culture works for him. And there's a weird thing. So Draymond makes a lot, and Wiggins does. And you can't break up Steph and Clay because they're like, I mean, it's just, you can't do it. It's breaking up the band. And then they have all these young pieces, kind of hybrid pieces that can do multiple things. What are the Warriors going to look like? Like, if they win the championship with this team, who do you move? Like, what, I mean, or does Joe Lacob say, I'll pay the penalty? You know, I'm just going to, but it's interesting. They draft Jason so well. They develop so well. Wiseman's a miss, it feels like. But outside of that, like, who do they move on this team?
Well, Warriors people will tell you that it's that Wiseman was a miss, but that's a whole other story. You know, I don't know who you move. That's a good question. The Jordan Poole thing is the most interesting piece of all of this because he ended up being a bridge piece for the Warriors. The Warriors fans were incensed last year as it felt like they were trapped between two eras. You had the Steph, Clay, Draymond trio, right. And then you had the Wiseman, Kuminga. And Kuminga has like all of these flashes. He reminds me a little bit of Jeff Green, just a freak athleticism. At the small forward position, but you're like stuck between eras and you're not good enough now to win. And who knows if these guys are going to be as good as Steph and Clay were, right? And Jordan Poole blossoming into an all-star prospect, that just builds a bridge so that you don't necessarily have to cash in assets. Because if you cash in assets, you hope to bring back someone like Jordan Poole. So like that's the beauty of him developing the way that he did. And as far as Wiggins goes, he was just miscast as this like lead swingman when that never was what his mentality was. He never had the audacity. I always joke that like if you could take Dylan Brooks's consciousness and put it into Andrew Wiggins, he'd be a superstar, right? He just on one night he has the audacity and the other night he doesn't. But in this system, he's allowed to just fall into the background, which is what he wants to do. And in the background, he can do the little things, which he's great at because he has tremendous physical gifts. And he's not exactly the first offensive player to start playing with all the attention that Steph gathers and to instantly thrive. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah. Let me give you one Laker question. When the Lakers brought in Westbrook, I'm not a Westbrook fan. My takeaway was an obvious one. He can't play off the ball and LeBron is a de facto point guard and should be. It's like what Giannis or Luke has become. Like just that's where the offense gets the genesis of the offense for the Bucks is Giannis. I mean, I can see the offense. It's the same thing every time down the floor. Here comes Drew Holiday off the curl. And it's like, okay, this is what they do. So LeBron's going to have the ball. That every offense that LeBron's on, they all look the same. They're all generated from the same space. And they should because he's a brilliant ball handler and one of the great passers of all time. So, but I thought that my takeaway was, well, Anthony Davis has hurt a lot. LeBron gives you probably 65 games now. Somebody's got to score 28. They just don't have enough scorers. And then the toxicity was worse. He was worse than I thought. And I'm like the least Westbrook-centric guy in the media. I think you have to move him because it's not just a fit. He lacks self-awareness. And, you know, Jason, you can be a lot of things. But if you don't get it, and you don't get it, you're not coachable. I think you have to move him. And I think they're leaking the story that coaches are being asked how Westbrook would work because they want teams to think they're going to give it another try, but I don't think they want to. That's my take on it. Where do you think the Lakers look like game one next year?
They simply can't bring him back. In terms of how bad this year was, which is an all-time catastrophe, we're talking about a team that literally was the second leading favorite in Vegas going into the season. It's a catastrophe of all-time NBA history proportions, and you need to somehow cleanse that. And like, I don't care what Russ says, which by the way, his exit presser was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in terms of a person deflecting any and all blame for anything that happened to him during the season. But if you're going to reset, you can't bring that guy back into training camp. I don't care if he makes apologies. I don't care if he works hard this summer. That would be such a bad gamble on their part. And what's dangerous here is the pride, because the reality is you might have to attach a first round pick to Russ to get rid of him. But the front office is concerned to the optics of that, which is exactly because we've seen reporting. The Lakers don't want to attach a first round pick to Russ. That's great. Nobody wants him. So how are you going to get rid of him unless you're willing to attach an asset to him, right? And at a certain point, that pride no one in the entire hierarchy of the Lakers is willing to just admit they made a mistake and move on. And clinging to that has been the biggest problem. But the only way I will feel even remotely optimistic about this is if they can get him out. And the advantage here is if you can flip him for, we'll call him overpaid role players, because you're going to get bad contracts in return because Russ is a bad contract. But there are overpaid role players that are better basketball players in a small role next to LeBron and AD than they would be elsewhere. Yes. Andrew Wiggins is a fantastic example of this. Max contract in Minnesota, you don't want anything to do with it. Role player alongside really good players, all of a sudden he's a functional piece. So embracing that and understanding that, you know, flipping one bad contract that can't play for you for two or three bad contracts that can immediately play roles alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that's a lot better option for you. So, I mean, I will feel horrible for Laker fans if they bring Russ back. That would be such an unbelievable disaster.
Yeah, Jason Temp, YouTube channel for the Volume Sports. His stuff is great. I retweet him a lot right after games. Really breaks it down. I've told you this before. We love having you. We were really missing an element at the Volume. Somebody that could go on immediately after games and break it down with passion and expertise. We just love you so much. And welcome aboard. Keep kicking ass. You're doing great.
I'm having the time of my life, Colin. I can't thank you enough for the opportunity.
All right, my man.
Volume.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.